to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. We have been in business over two decades. We're always actively involved in the purchase and sale of precious metals. Sometimes it goes one way more than the other, and we're seeing that now a little bit, and that's just the nature of the beast. We are always, always buying and selling all forms of precious metals. It doesn't matter if it's scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, whatever it is, we're actively involved in it, and we appreciate your reviews on Google. We give a silver dollar for a Google 5-star business-related review and two silver dollars or silver coins, silver ounces, for three reviews like Yelp. And, you know, you can do Yelp and Bing and Yahoo or whatever. Google's got to be one of them. But anyway, and then, you know, we're working hard on that. We do get some weird reviews now and then. I mean, we've gotten a couple lately. One gal came in with cubic zirconias and was just livid that we would not, you know, we showed her the diamond tester and everything, and she was just livid that she wouldn't, that we wouldn't call them diamonds and pay her a bunch of money. And we had another guy with the brass ring that was just determined that it was gold, you know, another one of those. And then a guy that wanted to dig through all of our silver rounds, which is about, you know, 3,000, 4,000, to look for stuff that he might want, and, you know, we just can't do that. We get that kind of stuff. It's kind of tough sometimes because you don't know how to handle that stuff, and we get, you get different types. But overall, you know, it's always the little stuff that gets you. Even over the years, I think on eBay we've probably got like 30,000 positive feedbacks. Those are individual people. If somebody leaves 10 or 20 feedbacks or buys 50 coins from you over time, it only counts as one feedback. We've got 30,000 positives. And, you know, our rating's 99.9%. I think it might be 100% now, I think. But it's, we've always found over the years, it's always the little $10, $6 stuff that gets you. It's never the guy that's doing $500 or $1,000. It's never that. It's always the little tiny guy. The stuff that's the most labor-intensive and the least profitable. But it's more as a service than anything. That's just the nature of business, I guess. But people think that Google reviews, they say they consider them as reliable as a reference from their best friend. Wow. People don't understand. I've got a, you know, background in mathematics and statistics. And, of course, when you study statistics, it's one of the hardest forms of math. People don't realize it's, they think of statistics like, oh, you know, you take a poll and you calculate the percentages. That's not really statistics. What statistics is when you get standard deviation and you're trying to calculate out of a certain population, what how large of a sample group do you need to properly represent the population, and what are the variables that are going to affect the outcome of this? I constantly see surveys that are absolutely completely skewed because they're not considering other variables. It's kind of like saying, everybody who's ever done a mass shooting eats breakfast. And, you know, it's like there's stuff like that out there. There's all kinds of junk like that. And one thing, I guess, along those lines, we're starting to see a lot of, and I'm really getting frustrated with this. And I try to kind of steer a little clear of the politics, but not much. You know, we've got that Hurricane Dorian. I'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, when we talk about politics and the twisting of words, you know, I heard on the news the other night, you know, the left is absolutely losing their marbles. I mean, they are just becoming horrendously vitriolic beyond anything I've ever dreamed of. I can't even believe it. It's just continuous hate. Absolute ridiculous Trump derangement syndrome. It is so bad. You know, they've even got, well, okay, I'll say this, you know, this Hurricane Dorian is heading towards Florida, and they're saying it's picking up speed. It could be one of the worst ever. I was listening to Trump today. I mean, this guy's on top of it. When you had Obama in office and even Bush, they wouldn't move quick enough. Trump, you know, their attitude was, we'll see what happens and we'll be ready to run, you know. And they'd run late, and then you couldn't get in. We saw this in Louisiana floods. you know, where they're trying to. This is the incompetence of people without a, you know, without a real business background like Trump. In New Orleans, they had the flood, the barrier broke or whatever, the dam or not, you know, I can't remember the name of it, but the big wall that held up the water out of the city broke. The water came over it and through it, and the city's flooded. And then FEMA tries to truck stuff in. There was stuff, they say, parked 20, 30 miles out. There was trailers everywhere, trucks, cars, all kinds of food. They couldn't get in. They had to fly. They had to bring people into this super stadium. And then, you know, and then they didn't have any water and they didn't have food. And our government was trying to truck it in and people were dying of starvation. All this stuff because Bush didn't prepare properly. And we've seen this in other hurricanes. Well, Trump, you know, we've got this Hurricane Dorian coming in. And, of course, Trump's got Mar-a-Lago down there. They say that the eye is pointing exactly at Mar-a-Lago, which is kind of interesting. We'll see what happens there. Trump said he's not worried about it. It's a pretty tough building. And I believe it. And we'll see. It'll be a kind of a God statement there because he is Trump, the final overriding factor or resource, which is the definition. But basically with this coming in, he's got FEMA ready to go. He's got all the, you know, the housing, the food, the shelter all set up. And his attitude is, if we don't need it, oh well. And, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Because people are worth a lot more than money. And these are situations where they come in. So, you know, he's just got Florida well prepared. I think he's doing a great job of preparing FEMA, the first responders, food, shelter, resources, et cetera, I was listening to. And then, you know, when the hurricane hit Puerto Rico, I heard the liberals today, you know, sorry, but I'm telling you, it's starting to really irk me, we'll say. I heard him say that he didn't care about Puerto Rico because it's full of brown people. I mean, this is the new rhetoric. Folks, what a rat crap bunch of lies, excuse me, but I'm telling you, geez. He absolutely was prepared in Puerto Rico if people do their research. But I am getting really, really fed up with the lies. I cannot believe, you know, are we that subjectively blind that we can't even see our own, I mean, the most rampant, dishonest bias ever? And then it's the, you know, Joseph Goebbels, tell a lie long enough and the people will believe it. The bigger the lie, the easier they'll believe it. Now, you think about that. Doesn't that apply to evolution? That's a big lie. That's big. It's huge. It's too big to comprehend. You know, our national debt. Oh, it's okay. It's okay to have that kind of debt. $220 trillion in unfunded liabilities with a country of about 300 million people. You know, that figures out to be about $700,000 for every man, woman, and child. That means a family of four is sitting at about $3 million in debt. You think you're going to be able to pay that off anytime soon? That's a lie. But, you know, the bigger the lie. And when people think, people know how their own finances run. They don't even think that the government is the same. That monetary principles, basically the principles of physics, they don't change. The principles of natural law and physical law don't change. The only time they change is when God creates a miracle. Okay, and we talked about that in the last show. And that's the only time they change. And they're not really, they don't really change. They're just superseded or circumvented. But so they're putting out these lies about Trump constantly, continuously. I mean, you got to feel bad for the guy. People are like, oh, yeah, but, you know, I do get tired of his, you know, tweets in his mouth. Well, what's happening is the conservatives are falling into the lies of the left. What in the heck is he supposed to do? He is under a barrage like no man in the history of this country has ever been. He's endured it better than any man has ever done, and it drives them nuts because the media is a bunch of absolute bullies, you know, and they attack bullies, and they basically call everybody else what they are, and then they are the rudest, meanest, most destructive bunch. And they don't use facts and truth. They absolutely go after people and rip them apart. Personal attacks. And they are going after Trump, you know, everything. He's in all of us. We're Nazis. We're racist. Whenever a Republican talks or a conservative, it's racist. Everything's racist and Naziistic, you know. And we've got, I mean, folks, have you even, I don't even know, you know, a lot of people I talk to are like, you know, they've almost kind of tuned out because it's just too much. I just talked to a good friend of mine last night and he said, I just don't even watch anymore, you know. Well, I have to, and I, you know, and you can't, it's very important that you watch the stuff and you know what's going on, but don't get mad, you know, get motivated, get that. God gave us anger for a reason. It's kind of a fight or flight, but he also gave us logic and reason. You know, and it says in the Bible to reason among yourselves or, you know, to be reasonable and to be sober-minded, etc. You need to be, you know, calm and you need to be motivated and you need to realize that if one person, if every, you know, if you took, well, I mean, there's a lot of Christians on earth, but I mean, if you took 10% of the Christians, let me get the number here. And let's see here. So there's 2.2 billion Christians on earth right now, okay? So if 10% of those Christians, which would be what, 220 million? That's just 10%. If 10% of them influence 10 people during their lifetime, that would mean that 2.2 billion more people would be influenced for Christianity. If that next generation each influenced 10% of the people, or 10 people each, you'd be at, you know, beyond, you'd be at 22 billion, which is, you know, three or four times the population of the earth. I mean, if we just each touch individual lives, and you can do that, you know, with a lower number too. You can use three or four, and it's just four or five generations, and we can transform the whole earth. And, you know, and each person's accountable for what they do. Every single one of us has a sphere of influence, okay? I was just talking with a gentleman today who's extraordinarily wealthy, who's owned incredible, you know, gold mines and, you know, from Berkeley Pit to Barrick Mines to Hecla Mines to the Friday Mines to just incredibly, incredibly wealthy. And we were talking about an individual that we mutually know that has a well company, and he's terrible. I mean, honestly. And he literally messes with people's water. He has a pretty significant sphere of influence, and he uses it for bad. It's the same as if you go down to the Department of Transportation or somewhere, and I'm not saying they're bad. Actually, I've had some great experiences there, but it's just, I'm just saying, a small government position or whatever, that, you know, they can make your day great or they can destroy it. Or they can be bureaucratic. They can get something done for you and really excel, or they can make your life miserable and not get it done at all. And I knew a guy who, you know, was trying to get a building permit, and there was a time that they were just, this city was unbelievably out of control, and they had the wrong people down there, and they were bad. This is back in the, you know, a while ago, I'll just say that, a little over a decade ago. And this guy said, well, you're not going to be able to get your permit till after winter. He went in like October, and he says, we're not going to be able to get you a permit till like next spring or summer. This is when I was involved in construction at the time, and trust me, there was some serious problems in the city. And the guy just said, you know, he said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. That's too bad. He says, I will be praying about it. And the guy said, well, it doesn't matter if you pray or not. It's not going to make an effing bit of difference, is what the guy said. So basically, this guy just went home, and he got his, you know, he got chewed out by this guy, and he just prayed about it. And he said 2 weeks later, the guy called him and said, come and get your permit. And he said, my permit? He said, I thought I wasn't getting it till next spring or summer. He said, yeah, but I haven't been able to get you off of my mind since we met. And he goes, I just want to get it over with. I want to get it out of here. because I'm sick of thinking about you. So, you know, that's what happens when you've got God on your side. And when, you know, and so that guy had a sphere of influence he was using badly. The Bible tells us if we're faithful with little, we'll be given much. God promotes us. God knows. God gives us a parable of talents. I mean, we literally each have a specific set of skills, abilities, motivations, drives, you know, desires. God plants those in us. I watched a thing here recently about a child. This couple who's not into music at all, they had a child, and they said by the time he was 1.5, his first word was guitar. He said they didn't have a guitar in the house. They'd never had a guitar. They didn't play guitar. They don't know where the kid got the name. He wanted a guitar, and he'd draw guitars and ask for his mom to draw guitars, right? So they got him a kid guitar. Mm-mm. He didn't want that. He wanted an adult guitar. By the age of 2, they got him an adult guitar. At 2.5 years old, this kid is teaching himself how to play the guitar and sing. And then when we saw the thing, he's like 3.5, 4 years old. He's singing at church. He's amazing. And he's going up, you know, and he's getting notoriety in the secular world too, because God can elevate us everywhere. But that, if that's not implanted, and the parents were like, we don't know where this came from. We don't know why he's got it. It's just there, you know. And you get the one talent guy who gets cast away because he doesn't use it properly. And then you look at the Michael Jacksons of the world, and you look at, you know, the various artists out there that, you know, they have this one phenomenal talent, and it's like having operating in overdrive all the time, and they're not talented in the other areas. They're not talented in managing the money they're making, or managing the people, or trusting people, or reading people, or, you know, managing estates and all this stuff, and they go broke and they end up, you know, totally drugged out. And, you know, it's just tough. It's tough on them. I mean, it's weird. I have sympathy for them because you see it over and over again. And so what I'm getting at is we each have a sphere of influence. Use it for good. The people around you, make their lives better, make them happy, you know, make them stronger, educate them, lead, you know, don't tell them what they don't do, tell them what they can do. And I think that's so much the opposite of where we've ended up as a nation. As I was speaking here about the Trump derangement syndrome, folks, this is terrible stuff, right? I mean, it's not good. So I talked about the Puerto Rican thing and, you know, the color Trump cares about. I've heard many times the color that Trump cares most about is the color green, right? And he's, you know, there's things he's doing really well. One thing he's doing poorly, horribly, but he can do nothing about now because it's out of our control, is the national debt and deficit. It's over. It's overkill. It's other than bankruptcy or hyperinflation, you cannot escape it. And hyperinflation is what they're doing. That's why the metals are rising. That's why the stock market's rising, because the spending power of the dollar is becoming weaker. And that's why precious metals over the long haul pay off. I mean, we've got gold at, you know, 15.25, 15.25, you know, and we've got silver in the 18s. And it's, you know, you think 10, 12 years ago, or let's see, yeah, something like that, 12 years ago, it was, you know, silver was $5 an ounce and gold was 400, 500, 450, like that, you know, and it keeps up. With inflation, it just quietly increases. But that's how much your spending power has dropped. And that's why you got to have a nice hedge in metals. I mean, you're going to, right now is a good time. We've had the low, you know, we came out of the hole, we went to the peak, we came back down, we packed down the dirt for a few years as it kind of headed up. And now we're getting a little bit of a run, but with an inflation adjustment. Inflation adjustments, if you look at the historical price of gold over the last 1,500 or 2,000 years, what it would buy, what it represented, we literally should be way over $10,000 gold and well over $250 silver, up to $500 silver, to be frank. That's actually what the value of silver was in the medieval ages, an ounce. It was, you know, and that's what it was clear back through the time of Christ. You know, it was very powerful buying, material. there was a time when Solomon had so much silver, it said they were as if, as stones in the street. They were everywhere. It was so much silver he'd mined. Everybody just had all they could handle. It became worthless in their area. And then eventually that infiltrated the rest of the world. And, you know, who knows? I mean, some of the silver coins we have now could be that too, because it recycles. Silver gets melted and reestablished and melted and, you know, and restruck and recoined. And that it just, that's the nice thing about it. It's a recyclable element. They used it for years and years and years for x-rays and recycled it. We bought an exorbitant amount from one of the big hospitals here, you know, 130 ounces or 130,000 ounces at one time that they filled up an entire, almost half of a safe deposit box room at one of the big banks here. And, you know, we bought, that was a tremendous buy, obviously huge, and we had to refine it all. And, it, you know, but that, those were, days are gone. Now everything is digital, but silver is still highly used, highly consumed. It's good to have. I'm just saying, just as a general rule, you should be balanced in your, a lot of people have paper and 401ks and IRAs and all that. You need precious metals-based portfolio. You've got to have a hedge base on it. So I think I made my point. It's pretty easy. You just give us a call. We'll help you out there. 401ks and IRAs, we convert to precious metals regularly too. A lot of people aren't, you know, they're getting a little too caught up in the market, I believe, and I think you got to be careful. I think you you need to prepare yourself for something's coming. I don't know when. I know for sure that they'll probably try to dump the markets before Trump election, before the 2020 election. Prior to then, I wouldn't be surprised. We've got a lot going on. We've got people blaming the tariffs on, you know, bad business report. There's so much propaganda out there, and I've just, you know, I've been discussing that, but I'm just telling you, folks, be aware. Don't buy the lies. Use your head. Realize the agenda is getting so bad. I can't even believe it. I mean, I'll talk here in a minute about Joe Biden, but you know, the Democrats, and I'm on politics today, I guess, but they're filled with anger and hatred towards Trump, and the best that they can give us is Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders. These people are professed communists, essentially. Biden is, no one knows what Biden is. Biden is a chameleon who's got dementia. He's had so many gaffes that, you know, if you recall, they've made a pattern of attacking Trump's mental capacity, that, you know, where he had to go take an IQ test and take all this stuff and let cameras come into his meetings to show that he wasn't. They do every dirty thing under the sun. It's sad. But Biden, they've got on film everywhere he speaks, he's literally delusional, which makes it very apparent why Barack Obama and Michelle Obama would not support him. I mean, I thought that was kind of rough at first, but now I get it. I watch him and I get it. I mean, he just had a situation where he was speaking about a soldier in Afghanistan that he pinned a medal on, and he called it the FOB, the Foreign Occupation Base, and it was up in the mountains, and the vice president, you know, shouldn't go up there because it's so dangerous, and that he was pinning a medal on this guy, and the guy didn't want it because he'd saved some people, and the guy died later, and he's got this whole story about everything, and it's all a lie. It turns out to all be a lie. It's a convolution of a number of visits he had to Afghanistan with a whole bunch of exaggeration. This is a guy who wants to be the president of the United States. And then they say all the time, Trump lies. I'm so tired of hearing this. Like, you know, Trump doesn't lie. He, you know, he has his own perspective on things, and he might exaggerate a little bit, or he might embellish. Everything is huge and great and beautiful, and that's just his nature. You know, that's the way he says it. But he's, I don't see him lying a lot. And Biden, when he did that thing, he said, this is the God's truth. He said, my word as a Biden, which means he was lying. When, as soon as I heard that, I'm like, yeah, he's lying. That's pretty tough stuff, to be honest with you. In my opinion, I think that's pretty bad when you're bringing God into, you know, when you're bringing God into your lies, yikes, tough stuff, right? But Biden's got a history of gaffes, and I'll just real quick, you know, he was in New Hampshire. He said how much he loves Vermont. He doesn't ever know where he is. This happens over and over. He talked about the Parkland massacre, and he said he remembers talking to those kids when he was vice president, and you know, he basically wasn't, he'd been out of office. It happened in February of 18. He'd been out since 16, and, you know, he just was completely confused. I mean, he may have had, they say, another shooting or whatever, but he doesn't even know. He might have been thinking of Sandy Hook, or, you know, he doesn't even know. He's just super delusional. And real quickly, he says there are at least three genders, which is like, he said, I don't even know what, you know, it says that a field, USA... A Turning Point USA field staffer confronted Biden in Iowa on August 9th, asking him, how many genders are there? He says there are at least three, Biden said, trying to appease the liberal wing of the Democratic Party that's been pushing society to abandon the two-gender biology. So he pressed Biden on the question, what are they? She inquired, don't play games with me, kid, Biden said before grabbing the young staffer's arm to explain his previous support for gay marriage. By the way, the first one to come out for marriage was me, he said. And then he says, poor kids are just as bright as white kids. The reason I'm going over this, folks, this is, he is the campaign leader for the National Democratic Party, okay? This is your potential competition to Donald Trump. He speaks, he says, poor kids are just as bright as white kids. And then he tries to save it, and he tries to add in Asian and Latinos and all this stuff. It's just racist rhetoric. Wealthy kids, he says, black kids, Asian kids. No, I really mean it. He tries to cover his tail, but he said poor kids are as bright as white kids. And then he says, we believe in truth over facts. I don't know if you saw that. That was quite interesting. It was kind of funny. That doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? It's truth over facts. Well, who's truth without facts, you know? It's like they can say, you can have your own truth, but you can't make up your own facts. And I think he's kind of saying he can. So, you know, it's quite interesting that he would do that. Biden misses locations of back-to-back shootings, refers to Michigan and Houston, you know, and then he's got Biden directed voters to go to Joe30330 website. And, you know, it sounded like an attempt to plug his own campaign website. And, you know, viewers were confused because it didn't work. There was no website there. I don't even know what in the heck he was, you know, maybe that was his email. In fact, it probably is, to be honest with you. That it just kind of occurred to me. That's probably Joe30330 at what? We could probably figure out his email. So it says he touts, you know, his relationships with these, you know, heavy duty segregationist senators, and he's stood up for these racists in the past, you know. But, you know, the truth is that stuff, I don't care, because times have changed, you know. And if you're a politician, you know, this whole attitude where, you know, somebody gets a donation from somebody controversial and they're like, are you giving the money back? Why are you accepting the money from them? They're a terrible place or person. And, you know, it's not their fault. And if Biden is a representative of his district and he has to have a positive relationship with everybody else that's a senator, why in the world would they hold that against him? You know, because these guys were racist. Well, we're getting to the point where they're trying to tear down statues of Thomas Jefferson, George Washington. They're rewriting history. In the book 1984, this is what they do. They have newspeak and everything, and the whole history gets washed out. You don't know your roots. You don't have tradition. That is what gives us strength to go on. That's what gives us direction. Our tradition establishes our destiny. And when they steal that is all from Karl Marx. Absolute, strip away the past, destroy it, or it's basically from the devil. Look at what Muslims do. They go into these cities with these beautiful historic statues and structures, and they just deface them and destroy them because they were not to honor Allah, you know, which is just terrible. I mean, it's like, what? You know, they have no, it's just Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he does, is destroy mankind. You know, there's debates over the Library of Alexandria. The most logical story is that the some Muslim caliph went in and the largest collection of books on earth at the after the time of Christ or before the time of Christ or after the time of Christ, sorry. Well, the Alexandria Library of Alexandria had been there from before Christ until well after. You know, it was the biggest collection of books. They say it was like the Library of Congress when books were the most expensive thing on earth and the hardest to make. They say that there were, you know, the architectural plans for the Great Pyramids. There were they say books that Noah had brought on the ark were in there. And that's according to some of the early historians. And the Muslims burnt it down. You know, real respect for history, right? No, they want to wipe history out so you don't know where you came from. You don't know who you are. The first generation might, but the next won't. And the kids don't. You tell the kids whatever. That's what Karl Marx said. He says, give me the children and the media, basically via propaganda. And he said, I can turn a society in no time whatsoever and basically kill the adults that don't, you know, conform. That's his thing. And that's what we're getting here. We are having a massive influx of socialist communism, big time, right? You know, a couple other things. Biden, he tells in a speech in his campaign before with Obama, he told a paraplegic state senator to stand up. He actually said, yeah, he's, you know, he's, I love you, man. You know, he's a great guy. He's handicapped. Stand up and let him, you know, I mean, he's just such a fool. He called Obama the first mainstream African-American who's articulate and clean. And he says you can't go to a 7-Eleven or Dunkin' Donuts unless you have an Indian accent. He just babbles. He babbles and babbles. This is a guy, he can't remember where he's at, what he's doing. This is serious stuff. I mean, I may be preaching to the choir. I don't know. But I'm telling you, if you're on board with any of this stuff, and I'm sure there's some liberal Democrat-minded Christians, which I think is something you've got to severely reevaluate. It may have been your family way, and it may be, you know, whatever. But I mean, you're at this point, you're everything unbiblical. I've heard people say, well, it's not for me to judge. Well, it is for you to judge. You will judge the angels one day if you're a believer. Okay. You have to stand up for what's right and true. And you don't have to judge. God already did. It's in his word. If you read his word and study it, you don't have to judge anything. You just obey his word and his commands. You don't have to hate. You are to love, but you have got to condemn. You know, they say, love the sinner, hate the sin. Well, people are like, oh, I hate your sin, you know, but no, you focus on the person, but you cannot compromise God's laws and rules and regulations. You can't do it. Homosexual marriage, I'm sorry, wrong. Homosexuality, wrong. Abortion, wrong. You know, premarital sex, wrong. Living together before you're married, wrong. Yeah, these things are, you know, we've basically transitioned and we've become anesthetized to all this stuff in society. Look how did Sodom and Gomorrah get to where they were? To the point where it was so bad that Lot was going to give his children, his virgin daughters up to homosexual sodomists, rapists, that said, if you don't give those angels to us, which, you know, they didn't know they were angels, apparently attractive probably, which angels usually are, I've heard and seen. And he says, if you don't give them to us, we will do worse to you than we'll do to them, admitting that what they're going to do is terrible. Lot tries to give up his daughters. The only reason Lot was saved was because his cousin or whatever, Abraham, who had a straight line, he had the hotline to God. So Lot and Abraham are heading out as the city's blowing up. And Lot's wife, and he says, don't look back. Lot's wife looks back and what? Gets turned to a pillar of salt. Why? Because she looked back in reminiscence, in nostalgia. She wanted that lifestyle. Every single person in Sodom and Gomorrah, every single person had been corrupted. Corrupted through and through. It didn't start that way. It infiltrates. Is that what's happening in America today? I think to a degree, yes. We have to be so careful about this stuff. If you think about it, I mean, we have become numb. We've watched the Republican Party go from being against gay marriage to for gay marriage. Against it, you know, homosexuality to for it. For a while, they were drifting into being pro-choice. We were seeing a lot of that until Trump came on board. Trump does not flex. Trump does not fold. Trump does not compromise. He's a master negotiator. He's a brilliant, wise man. And he has set a standard. He didn't cave and he didn't fold. And all of a sudden, he gave the Republican Party an example of what God says in James. If you don't stand for something, you'll basically fall for anything. You'll be tossed to and fro. And he is probably one of the first Republicans I've seen that literally holds his ground. And they hate his guts, don't they? They, you know, it's, but he stands for truth. And you know what it is? This vitriol, this Trump derangement syndrome, as they call it, which, you know, I used to hear it and laugh. It's super true. It's Trump derangement syndrome. It's absolutely every single thing that Donald Trump does or says gets twisted, misconstrued, taken out of context. But, you know, worst of all, that I think bothers me the most is how personal the lies and attacks from the radical left have become. I mean, we see these people showing up at people's houses at 3 and 4 in the morning with blow horns and loud music boxes and filthy, vile rhetoric and, you know, being caught on film saying, oh, I'd love to slit their throat and gouge their eyes out. And this is what's happened to America, folks. I'm telling you, we are being fully anesthetized and converted to a satanic, demonic, dark side. The hatred has taken us over. The Bible warns us in numerous places that as the end times approach, we're going to see more and more of this. And I remember reading this stuff clear back in the 80s and being like, wow, you know, that sounds like really tough times. And then, as you know, and then eventually God's wrath comes down and it says they'll shake their fist at God. They're not going to turn. I thought, well, how could that be? Well, now I see how it is. Because when their hearts are hardened and basically they're not indwelt by the Holy Spirit, they're indwelt by a spirit, no doubt, but they can't turn. They've made their decision. They've made their bed. And, you know, maybe it's like the angels in some cases. They got one shot, one choice, and that was it. And there's some people, maybe they think they'll deal with it later. I've heard people say, well, I'm too young to become a Christian. I need to sow my oats. I need to enjoy my life. I've got to go out and do this and do that. And then I'll do it later. Well, you may not have a chance later. God, you know, you don't put God on a shelf and say, first I have to go get my fill of sin. You know, so they hate, the personal attacks are terrible. They despise, what I'm starting to learn, folks, is these people despise America. And they'll say, oh, that's not right to say, and that's unpatriotic. No, it is not. Because I know what this country was about, is about, was about, was founded on. It is on biblical principles. I've quoted on this show time and again, so many founding fathers on spiritual Christianity, spiritual faith, you know, the need for morality and religion, they say. Religion, man-made structure, right? Well, I guess you got to find the right church, right? There's a lot of people that are anti-church, and the church is the body of Christ, and churches aren't perfect, but you got to find a good one to be part of, because without it, not a lot gets accomplished, or you build your own church, right? They hate our republic. They hate capitalism, and Trump is the epitome of the system. He is the epitome of capitalism. He reflects it. Their vitriol, and you might think I'm crazy, but we are at a point in time, okay, where MSNBC or MSDNC, you know, Democratic National Convention or Committee, one of their anchors, Lawrence O'Donnell, this week, came on, you know, the lead-in. He told this horrendous lie. And finally, the Trump organization, Trump Family, says they're going to sue him for slander and libel. Praise God. He came out and he said, I have a source from Deutsche Bank that says that all of Donald Trump's loans are co-signed by Russian oligarchs. He literally comes out and says this. And he's, think about that. Think about how profound that statement is. We've been through this Russian collusion scam, hoax, lie. You know, we're learning all this garbage about James Comey when he went to visit the president. He wasn't there to brief him. He didn't even tell him about this, you know, counterintelligence operation, which, by the way, can only be started and led by a president. Well, guess what president that was? Obama. And he doesn't tell him, and on, and he leaves, and he writes this memo, and he gives it to his friend, who gives it to the New York Times, and, you know, and he's just this dirty, arrogant, yucky, you know, person who the Attorney General, the IG report is, you know, the IG report's just the IG report, and the Attorney General's the one whose job it is to determine whether or not they convict or prosecute, I should say, and they've chosen not to. And then you've got Andrew McCabe. I mean, absolutely lied, did everything. They've got Peter Strzok and his girlfriend, I can't remember her name, completely emailing or texting each other to absolutely, they were determined to destroy Trump. They said they have an insurance policy. That's the, you know, bought and paid for Hillary Clinton Steele dossier. That guy Steele from, you know, England, MI6, you know, just full of filth. And then you get to the point where Comey's on TV and the Steele dossier was full of vile filth, you know, said he was urinating on prostitutes. And I'm sorry, I'm just telling you what's in there. I haven't mentioned it before, but I think it's important because James Comey was interviewed by George Stephanopoulos. And then he actually brought that up. He says, I don't know. I think that's probably true. And he's just, I mean, this is the head of the FBI. The most powerful law enforcement official in America is out to get Trump. The entire system was against Trump. The CIA, the FBI, you know, the entire establishment, the whole Democratic National Committee wasn't just running a campaign. They were running a criminal conspiracy against him. They have Barack Obama was spying on him. They had wiretaps. They could hear everything going on in his campaign. And with all that and a lot more that I didn't even touch on, he won. What does that tell you? They were in shock. When he won, they said Hillary was in back. I remember that night. I was driving home. My dad was very, very sick. In fact, it was his birthday. And I was listening to the radio, and I was down. And I'll tell you what, that brought my spirits up. That was a crazy night. But it was amazing. And then I remember him coming on saying, well, Hillary won't come out and speak. And then the rumor started to fly that she was in back, literally throwing and destroying things, just kicking everybody out. They said she shattered the face of a TV, you know, all these things. And the Clinton, you know, regime has got the dirtiest history you can imagine, all the way up to this Jeffrey Epstein thing where, you know, they moved him to a different cell, took him off suicide watch, which he may or may not have been on because he said he was beat up by a cellmate who was an ex-cop or whatever. And, you know, they move him to another cell. And he's supposed to have cameras on. Well, he doesn't. You know, the cameras are off. Oops. They're supposed to check on him every 15 to 30 minutes. Well, they didn't. They said they checked on him, you know, every many hours. There was no real, you know, and they lied about it. And then they had his cellmate was removed the night before. And then they say he hung himself. Who am I talking about? Jeffrey Epstein, a billionaire who was a child molesting pedophile, apparently. And Bill Clinton said he was with him maybe four times. Well, the private airport document said 27 times that we know of. And, you know, we know that Bill was a womanizer, and to put it lightly. And then every time somebody has too much information about Clinton or whatever, they die. Well, guess what? He died. And there's a lot more collusion there. It's just, it's on and on. You go through the, you know, when the DNC had leaks that basically they were framing or trying to destroy Bernie Sanders, they didn't give him a fair shot. That came out. That got leaked through WikiLeaks. And guess what? Right after that, a DNC staffer was mysteriously murdered on the street corner in D.C. Just a random drive-by, of course. And then Julian Assange from WikiLeaks came out and said, he was assassinated. He wouldn't say clearly that he was the source, but he pretty much implied it, and that he was killed for doing that. Killed. I mean, literally killed. This is the Democratic Party. This is who they are. They're a bunch of thugs. That's like I said, the media is a bunch of bullies. Well, so is the Democratic Party, apparently. I mean, they're hardcore. They're immoral. That's the whole thing I'm always saying is we've got the party of God, for God, by God, the party basically that's carrying the torch of our founding fathers, okay? And then you've got the party of immorality, of godlessness, the party of man, the party of global warming, because we can fix it, right? You know, all this carbon footprint garbage and, you know, Ocasio-Cortez and, you know, Alexander, whatever her name is. We're getting all these crazy names, and Ilmar Omad Abilibab or whatever her name is. And she's been married to her brother, and she's got all this, she was having sex with her campaign manager, but she's a very strict Muslim and an anti-Semite. And, you know, these are congresswomen that are in our country. I mean, when we've got warnings from Thomas Jefferson about letting Muslims into our nation, this country's biggest challenge, other than the Revolutionary War against Great Britain, was Muslims, the Barbary pirates. I mean, we founded our own military, Thomas Jefferson did, strictly based on this. I know I've covered this before, but this is where we're at. I mean, our country is there. You go from Thomas Jefferson saying, don't let them in, they're dangerous, they believe in a theocracy, they cannot coexist with freedom of religion because they want to kill, they lie, they've got taqiyya, they're commanded to lie for the furtherance of Islam. Well, guess who Obama was? He was the ultimate Muslim who made his way all the way up. He was getting counseled by the Muslim Brotherhood. He took down Gaddafi. He took down Hosni Mubarak. He kind of threw some stones at, I can't remember the guy in Syria's name right now. I blank. I'm sorry, because I don't prepare this stuff sometimes. But, you know, he was going to, you know, he did kind of a token, which tells me, see, he didn't want him out because he was one of the radical Muslims. But Obama had transported all of these weapons during the Benghazi thing through the CIA that they'd confiscated from Gaddafi over. Ironically, yesterday, or in the last few days, I talked to a guy whose brother is in the CIA, who was over there at that time, and he didn't know the whole story. And I told him the story, and he still didn't quite understand. He says, yeah, my brother was in the CIA, and he was, you know, he was in Benghazi when all that went down. I said, yep, I knew it. I mean, there's just so much evidence. They were literally circumventing all of the weapons and missiles, and that's exactly what this guy said his brother was doing, to Syria. All of them went to feed ISIS, our arch rival. But Obama couldn't take ISIS out. Trump's in office now. Where are they now? Where's ISIS? Don't hear much about them, do you? Nope. He wiped them out pretty good. Quietly, with stealth, with vigor. He is absolutely cleaning them up. He's not bad. He's smart. And he said he won't telegraph. Obama would telegraph everything. You know, on September 18th of next year, we're going to be pulling out. So, you know, all of the soldiers that can endure on the Muslim front, you know, will I guess they'll be okay. And we're going to reduce our troops every month until then. And we're not putting any more boots on the ground. And we're not going to do any flyover bombings in these regions. He literally tells them where to move and how to build up. And he built them up. He had some of the most horrendous terrorists visiting the White House. I mean, it is so far beyond, and I know Obama's gone, but it's the same as going back to 9/11, folks. We are getting the veil pulled back to see all the corruption in our government. I'm telling you, go all the way back. Watch 911 Mysteries video on YouTube. Please go watch it. It's about 2 hours long, an hour and 56 or something. There's other smokescreen videos above it because Google owns it and they don't want you to see it, so you got to scroll down a bit. It's about an hour and 56 minutes, and it starts out with kind of an old TV with that gray and white snow on it, and then a guy starts talking. That's the show you got to watch. That kind of leads up to where we are today. But all of that, believe it or not, and I don't have time to get into it, all that was begun by FDR. He started the inception of communism into our government. 33 of his employees were members of the Communist Party. It came out later when the Freedom of Information after 50 years came out. And then, of course, the liberals, they cover none of it. They don't care. They want communism. Cultural Marxism, the Frankfurt School, this stuff has permeated our system. This is where all the rampant sexuality in our schools, this is where the Department of Education was spawned from. All of it, the 60s was spawned by it. It was all introducing college students to absolute immorality, questioning their faith by not raising a child up in the way they should go strong enough. They're unable to endure Satan's specialization. You know, I think of, here's a quick tangent, but when Mel Gibson made the movie Passion of the Christ, he was shut down by Hollywood. When he got James Cavill, well, I can't remember his name right now. I keep doing that. I must be like Joe Biden. So when he got him, he gave him a fake script. Didn't want anybody to know. Brought him in. You know, played with him for a while and said, what do you think of the script? And he's like, you know, it's not much, you know. And, well, it turned out that it was fake. And then he let him know that he was in the running for, you know, to play Christ in The Passion of the Christ. And so when they made that movie, by the way, it was the number one grossing movie ever. It blew away Lord of the Rings. Because why? Because God rewards that stuff, right? But what I was getting at was they were under so much spiritual attack. People broke their arms, broke their necks. You know, incredible storms. They were filming the crucifixion in Italy. And it was clear skies. And this dark, nasty, horrendous cloud came in on them and just attacked them with the harshest winds, hail, rain. And they could see all around them was blue skies. The devil's out there. He is alive and well. He does not want any, God to prevail. But he also will not prevail. He will not prevail. God will. You know, I talked about miracles before. And I think that, you know, we've got so much stuff going on in this country right now. I just think it's important to kind of to check ourselves and get our heads on straight and realize we are under spiritual attack. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spirits and principalities that rule this earth and have this as their domain. We don't know what deal was cut with God or what word he gave to Lucifer that he had to honor it to such a point that he had to sneak Jesus in and he had to protect people through history from these wicked satanic rulers killing all the males under the age of two to preserve and exalt Moses and Christ and, you know, even Abraham. In the apocryphal scriptures, the same thing happened by under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, or not Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know, but he did the same thing. The guy that had the great warrior. Oh, man, I'm starting to sound like Joe Biden. So anyway, but, you know, Jim Caviezel, I think is the guy's name, who played that part, and he talked about it. So anyway, you guys get the point. I think, I hope this Lawrence O'Donnell told this lie. He came out the next night and recanted his Russian oligarch co-signer lie, claimed it was unverified. You know, and blah, 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 and they shouldn't have done it. He did it just, he was looking for bigger ratings. Here's the problem. CNN and MSNBC ratings are tanking. So what do? They escalate what they're already doing. They're so blinded. They've become so biased, and their news is so skewed and so filled with lies and anger and vitriol that they keep increasing it to try to get their ratings back, because at first it worked. People are sick of it. Trump will win by a landslide unless someone amazing pops up, you know. So their ratings drop as they do more of the same thing. And the other thing to watch for are the keywords. They call us all racists and Nazis. They're using this Nazi thing, you know. Our time is our most valuable commodity. You know, we can make more money, but we can't make more time. We need to each make the most of every opportunity in our lives. As I started at the start, you know, we've got a sphere of influence. I did a last show on miracles, and we can be a miracle in people's lives. And we got to remember that. If we want someone to have a miracle, don't say you'll pray for them. Do something for them, or pray with them, and then do something. Be the miracle. One last, you know, scripture, Ephesians 5:15-17. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And he says, and remember, he says, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Making the most of your time because the days are evil. We need to use our time wisely. Set goals. Make plans. The Bible says to live a well-spent life. Time is a commodity that people don't value enough. People steal it. There's time thieves. You know, value your time. Use it wisely. God judges us. Book of Talents or Parable of Talents. Very clear. He judges us for what he gives us. So thanks again for tuning in. Appreciate it. Appreciate your support, and appreciate your support of Coins Plus. Have a wonderful weekend. Take care. God bless, and have a beautiful evening. Thank you. Bye-bye.